He's looking after me, keeping me on time and on target. Wasn't on time or target. So y'all got to be blessed a little bit more with Vicky today. Listen, look around, give somebody a wave, tell them a good morning. Say, we're glad to have you with us today. I didn't hear anybody say any of those things. Come on and wake up a little bit. There we go. Let the coffee kick in. We're so glad to have you with us today as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. If you're part of our online audience, we thank you for joining us today as well. And as always, we want to let you know, be sure to say hello, online audience, to our very own Dr. John Cazito. Don't make him feel lonely over there. We're so grateful for all that he does, in case you've never seen it. Or maybe you've been somewhere and like on vacation or something and watched online, and you've seen that there's feedback coming. That's our very own Dr. Cazito sitting right over here to my left. Your right wave, Dr. John. Let people know who you are. I really appreciate all that he does. Give him a hand. We really appreciate all that he does to make our online audience feel, you know, as much at home and like being here as possible. As always, if you have any questions, you can field them to Dr. Cazito. He'll get you answers, or if he doesn't know them, he'll make sure he gets them for you. But we're so thankful for him and the opportunity for us to be able to come today to worship our Lord. And as always, I just pray that as we've come into the Lord's house today, we have done so putting aside thoughts and cares of the world, the distractions that can so easily beset us, and that we look for the movement of the Holy Spirit in each and everything that's done in this place today. I love the word that promises us where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. So he's got a word for each of us today. And may we not be so distracted by everything around us that we miss that. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful for the opportunity that you give us to even gather together, to assemble together in your house. Lord, there are just so many things that people have on their hearts and minds, and we have come into your house and at various circumstances and situations going on. Lord, some in desperate need to hear you today. Lord, some just so joyous that it flows from them. But Lord, whatever the need may be, we pray, Father, today that you would meet that need in this place. We know that you will. Your Holy Spirit is working and dwelling in this place. Lord, your word, it does not return void. So there's a tailor-made personal message for each and every one of us today. If we will just take time to hear what the Spirit will say to each and every one of us. So, Lord, we just ask that you would bless our time. Help us to concentrate upon you and hear your word. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, 334.
Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Lord of the Spirit, washed in blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
Thank you, choir. As you're turning to page 333, which is one page before, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, let me say that choir practice is going to resume on August 3rd, so just a few weeks away. We've got new music, and the Christmas cantata is here, or Christmas musical. And so if you'd be praying about it, if you've thought about it, we'd love to have you join. And don't feel like if you join, you can't ever leave. You know, just come and join, be a part of it, and try it out. So that's in a few weeks, and there'll be more on that in the bulletins ahead. 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship.
I don't know what it is, but it seems like every week, you know, I'll go back and I'll check my microphone. And I did this time, and I was watching it, Ernie. I turned it on, we checked it, I put it on. By the time I got up here, that little switch somehow had gotten flipped. I don't know. There must be a little gnome running around behind me flipping switches. But are we good now, Ernie? Okay, good. Ernie gives me the wave. I know something's going on. So at any rate, today we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. You know, we live in a very fast-paced world. When we sit there and think about the fact that years ago, and even I can still remember that even as a child, things seemed like they were a lot slower. Amen?
I mean, you know, and I guess maybe it was because of the fact that, you know, not everybody had a cell phone. The wall was the phone was attached to the wall at the house, and there was a cord on it, and nobody ever wanted to answer it. You remember that? It was that thing about, you gonna get the phone? No, I'm not getting that phone. I got it last time. Now we lose our mind if the phone rings. We got cellular phones. They go everywhere with us, man. Yeah, people carry them to the bathroom with them. They're on the deck. They're everywhere. We can't seem to get by without that. Calls just chase us around. And because of that, work seemed to have followed us home. Yeah, we can't get away from it no matter what. Now, granted, I know that there are some conveniences that go along with those type of things, but we're living in this extremely fast-paced world where distractions are everywhere, and that's what I want us to talk about today. How easily are we distracted? Now, I'd ask myself that question, and to be honest with you, I can be pretty easily distracted. How many of you would say you can as well? There's just so much that takes place, so much that goes on. We can be distracted of the main thing of what we need to be doing. It's easy to lose focus on the things that truly matter. And today we want to look at a passage of scripture that addresses exactly that. It's not going to be anything that's going to be new to you guys by any stretch of the imagination, but for me, it often serves as a reminder. I know that over the past couple of weeks, as I've taken the time to be on vacation, jumping back in this seems like trying to jump into a moving car at about 70 miles an hour. It's difficult to do because everything is just moving so fast. Look with me, if you would, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to begin reading at verse 38. And I want you to notice the distraction in this particular passage, because this is exactly what it's addressing. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was," what's that word? There we go. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that we would be very attentive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to not be distracted as we have come into your house today. Lord, help us not to be distracted as we come around your word. Help us, Father, to put aside the cares of the day. We know that Satan is doing his best right now to put our mind on everything but you. Help us, Father, to focus. Help us to hear what the Spirit will say to each and every one of us that is tailor-made for our lives where we are right now in this moment and time. So, Lord, right now, we pray that you would bless each and every one. Father, I pray that if there's one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that as you convict their heart today, you would give them courage to give their heart to you. Lord, I pray that if there are those today that are walking outside of your will, that as you call them home, they will come running back to you on this very day. Lord, for us that seem to be distracted, I pray that you will give us focus upon the things that truly matter. So, Father, I ask right now that you would bless our time. Use me as your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up. As, Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, this is not something that's new to us. But the thing about it is, I believe this is one of those things that we have to visit very, very often. I'm going to ask you to do something for the rest of your life. This is not one of those easy things. This is not asking you to do something for today. This is not asking you to do something for a week or for a Sunday or whatever. This is asking you to do something for a lifetime. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I am asking you to purpose, I like that word, purpose to focus upon the Lord. Each and every day, each and every moment of every day. Now, I know that some of you all sit back and say, well, I do that every day. Well, how are you doing with that? If we're honest with each other, we find ourselves in a frustrated manner very often because we don't focus as good as we think we do. We can be so easily distracted. I'm that guy, squirrel, you know, there it went. Or I'm looking over here. I should be looking over there. I'm doing this when I should be doing that. Now, Satan's, one of his greatest tools is to distract us from being what it is that God wants us to be. And we've got to focus upon those things. We have to see them coming at us. Don't let them blindside us. And the only way that that happens is if we are focusing on it, that we are purposing to make sure that we're not distracted in our walk with the Master. Now, we have to think about what the nature of the distractions are, okay? I want to give a definition of what I'm talking about today. I've said this many times, but it reigns true in our society that you just about have to define everything now to make sure you're talking about the same thing that most of the people in this world are talking about. Yeah, if I'm having a conversation, particularly if somebody wants to say, well, I want to discuss this biblical premise with you, and they may ask a question. I say, well, first of all, I want to ask you how you are defining this term that you're asking me about. Because very often what I find out is that we have completely different definitions. Things have changed over time, haven't they? We don't call stuff what we used to call it. You know, for me, and maybe there's a reason for it, but every little bit of math I learned, and that's a very little bit in school growing up, it's completely different. For some odd reason, 2 + 2 doesn't really equal 4 in this new day and age. I don't get it. I couldn't even help my son with math when he was in elementary school because it weirded me out. It was like nothing seems to work like it used to. So we've got to be talking about the same thing. So what are the definitions? How are we going to define distractions for the sake of our lifelong commitment? Okay, let me give it to you. Distractions are anything, did you get that word? Anything that shifts our attention from the primary focus. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Anything that shifts our attention from the primary focus. What should our primary focus be? Our primary focus should be on our Lord and Savior. Let me ask you this. Can you get distracted even serving the Lord? Yes, you can. You see, if we're too busy trying to put on a service and we are distracted from hearing from the Holy Spirit today, then we have come into the exact word distraction that we're talking about. If we are serving in such a manner that it is pulling all of our time away and we're doing a good job serving, but we're not worshiping, then we're distracted. How many times have you ever found yourself, anybody ever find yourself there that you've been so busy and doing good stuff? Me, I'm the only one, 2, 3, yes, I see those hands. And what's happened is you completely missed it. It's easy to do. It's easy to get distracted. Sometimes we actually are a good distraction for somebody else. Steve, we're praying, is going to be a good distraction this week as he deploys to the Durham area to do chaplaincy work and maybe be a healthy, good distraction for people that are going through some tough times in their life. Distract them from what's going on over here and help focus them on Jesus. I'm asking you a question that I don't want to see a show of hands of. How many of you today are distracted? I remember when life was so much easier. I remember when Sundays you went to church and you came home. I came home because we didn't have really any place to go out to eat. So if you didn't eat at home, you just didn't eat. So you'd come home and have a Sunday lunch with the family. And then one of the most blessed things in life would take place, and that was called the Sunday nap. Can you? How many of you? Hallelujah, you're my people. You take that Sunday nap, you'd relax. Now we would get ready to go back on Sunday night to spend time in worship. We would spend time together. There was not some, we only had three channels on TV. That was it. There wasn't anything that was going on that we could really be a part of. Those were some interesting days. And now, think about it for a minute. How many of y'all remember those days? Come on. They're not like that now, are they? Now you're, I got to get out of here. We got to get over to the K&W. We got to meet Harold and Lily Bell. We got to have lunch with them. Then we got to get over here. Then we got to drive the kids to that. And then there's a ball practice. And then we got to get back. And we've got blah, 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 blah. And you just run, 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 run. And you know what? I'm trying to say that it's okay, but you sometimes need to take a step back and be able to focus on what really, really matters. I believe that one of the greatest tools that Satan uses in the lives of Christians today are distractions. And by the way, he doesn't make those distractions the ungodly things. He makes them the things that are important. He makes them the things that are worthwhile to be a part of. But you can be so busy doing good stuff that you miss the great stuff. My case in point is the scripture we're talking about today. Martha wanted to be a good host. Hostess. Is there anything wrong with that? No. What was it normal for the fact that Jesus came by and she wanted to do right by him? A lot of you all in here are good Southern people. If somebody comes by your house, knocks on the door, you know, the first thing you generally say is, come on in. If you know them, if you don't, you'll talk to them on the porch. But if you know them, you'll say, come on in. Can I get you a glass of sweet tea? You know, we always have some food left over here. Can I get you a bite to eat or something like a good old Southern hospitality? So Martha is doing what is culturally acceptable, what is culturally right. She wants to be a good hostess, and she is also doing something that she can do. It was her talent, her ability to be able to exercise that, you know, specifically for her Lord and Savior. Those are all great things, aren't they? Those are things we preach from this pulpit. These are things that the Word of God preaches. Use your talent and ability for the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. The problem came in, and maybe it was a little bit of jealousy, but here's Mary. Mary is interested in knowing what is going on with Jesus. She is interested in learning what is taking place. She is interested in coming close to the Master. She is there to worship at the feet of Jesus. That's what she's there for. And in the midst, I want you to get this scene in your mind. Jesus is in there and Jesus is teaching, and you got Mary at his feet gleaning every word that he's saying, and you got Martha in there going, I can't believe that confounded sister of mine. I'm in here doing all this by myself. I got all these people to feed and I want this to be good. Blah, 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 blah. Have you been there? See, Martha is actually getting uptight with Mary. And some would say, well, how do you know that, preacher? The Word doesn't say that. Well, yeah, it does, because she goes in and says to Jesus, you tell that lazy sister of mine to get in here and help me. Now, I paraphrased that, of course. That wasn't according to the New King James. But that is essentially what was going on, because she did. You know, notice the Word says, she went to Jesus and said, you tell my sister to get up and come in here and help me get this meal served. You see, Martha was more worried about serving a good meal. She was more worried about whether or not the flatware was in order on the table than she was in hearing the message of the Word of God. Now, let me tell you what stings about that, is that too often we find ourselves in that same predicament. Even being so busy using our talents and abilities for the Lord that we're missing what He has for us. We're distracted. We're distracted by life. We are distracted by so many things. And let me tell you this, Satan pours them on. You know, I was talking about those times that were good times in the days of old. You know what used to go on Sunday? Nothing. Where are my people? Nothing. If you didn't do your shopping on Saturday, you didn't have it on Sunday. Remember the guy whose car broke down coming through Mayberry? He was stuck. Work on it first thing in the morning. Not going to do it on Sunday. Matter of fact, what would they call it? Blue laws? Is that what they called it? Had blue laws. Places were shut down. It was to reverence and honor and give people the time to step away from the norm and to focus on the Lord. Now, look at Sunday. Go back 40 years. I know most of you in here can. Some of you can't. But if you go back 40 years and you look at what took place on Sunday and then fast forward to today, look at what's going on. Sunday's just another day, isn't it? There's so much stuff going on. And we find ourselves distracted. I still remember growing up, and I shared this with you, that I loved playing ball. I was an all-star in Little League, man. And I still remember, they said, well, we're going to practice on Sunday. My dad said, that's great, man. I hope you all have a good time. But Roy won't be there. And I was mad. I was not happy about that. But I said this before, only two players showed up on Sunday. Because that was the way it went back then. It was important. It was a focus. You can't practice ball with two people. You can't do it. You know what happened? They didn't practice on Sundays anymore. They found another time because we showed how important that it was to not be distracted from God's Word. And yet, we will let everything distract us in our personal walk. We will let everything distract us in our church life. All we have to have is a weather forecast to keep us from coming together. Well, it's going to rain today. Last time I checked, ain't none of us sugar and spice and everything nice, and ain't none of us going to melt. Not going to happen. We're all sinners saved by God's grace. What your level of dedication determines what you allow to distract you from the Master. Go back and look at Mary and Martha. Martha was busy. She was doing good stuff. She was doing right stuff. She wasn't doing anything illegal, immoral, or sinful. And she was exercising a talent that she had. The problem was her focus had gotten off. She was more concerned about being a good hostess than she was being concerned about the Jesus that was sitting in her living room. And then there was Mary. Mary was taking it all in. And it's ironic because basically Mary was called lazy. My lazy sister should be in here helping me. And I kind of like how Jesus put it. I want to go back to the passage. At the end of the passage, it says where she says, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Much serving. How do you like that? And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know what Jesus basically said to her? Man, you're worrying too much. Why don't you just relax and sit down? Yeah, I've said before, we need to understand too that Jesus doesn't need us. He wants us. You think Jesus could go and there'd be a meal there? Delicious meal? We've seen him do it, hadn't we? I mean, Jesus is the only one I know who can take a little kid's lunch, divide it out among thousands of people, and pick up more leftovers than what they had when they started. Don't worry about it. Jesus says, I would rather you be the Mary at my feet, cultivating our relationship, learning and growing together, than all of the service in the world. Now, you've heard me say this. Back in the Old Testament in Isaiah's vision, it talks about the seraphim that went and got the coal from the altar, and it gives some in-depth description of this seraphim. It says, the seraphim had six wings. It says, with twain, that means two, he flew. With twain, he covered his eyes, and with twain, he covered his feet. Covering the eyes and covering the feet were acts of worship. So out of six wings that the seraphim had, only two of them were used for service, four of them were used for worship, and that angel didn't crash and burn. I will promise you, if you get the worship right, the service will follow. I promise. I can promise you that. The definition of distraction, anything that shifts our attention from the primary focus. In this scripture, Martha is distracted by her duties and misses out on a crucial, crucial moment with Jesus. See, that's the part that I often wonder. How many times in my busyness am I missing out on the good stuff that the Lord has for me? Have you ever missed something that was like a turning point? For me, if I'm sitting at a ball game, it could be the longest, most boring, scoreless game that you ever had. If I go to get a hot dog or go to the restroom, somebody's going to hit a home run. I'm going to come back, and it's going to be 4-0. And I'm going like, what happened? Oh, you should have seen it. It was the greatest thing ever. It was a grand slam home run. I'm like, man, I just went to the bathroom. There was nobody on base. Oh, yeah, there was three hits in a row, man, and they were all on base. And then the fourth guy hits one over the fence. Now it's 4-0. Greatest game I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going, Listen, I don't want to miss that. When it comes down to the spiritual things, the things that matter, the things that are going forward into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, I want you to serve, but I want you to serve for the right reason. I want you to serve, but I don't want you to be so distracted by service that you miss the blessing that God has. I want us to purpose, to take that time, to pull away and to be with the Lord. And some of y'all are going, well, I do that anyway. Fantastic. But the odds are, do you realize the statistic says that 98% of those who call themselves Christian do not have a regular time daily with the Master? 98%. Wow. That's pretty staggering. Martha is distracted by duty and misses out on these critical moments. You see, distractions lead us away from our priorities. You ever gone? I did this past week. Have you ever gone to the store to get something and you got so many other things you didn't get what you went there for? Ever done that? So I'm seeing some head shaking. So you understand the distraction. What happens is you walk in and you go, oh, Lord of mercy, there's a baked chicken rotissing right there back. It looks so good. You might have gone in there for a jar of mayonnaise and you leave with $300 worth of groceries and no mayonnaise. You got distracted because everything around you is so enticing. And folks, let me tell you, Satan makes the world so enticing to try to pull us away. Listen, here's something he knows. He knows that I am a born-again believer. He knows he can't have me. But what he can certainly do is try to destroy my testimony, try to destroy my walk, and try to keep me away from Jesus. What kind of company are you keeping? Imagine a student preparing for an examination, and if they spend more time playing on their phones and social media than studying, their focus shifts, and you know what? Grades often suffer because of that. And we allow life's distractions to take precedence over spiritual growth, and we miss the opportunities to deepen our faith with the one who loved us, the one who gave his son that we might have eternal life. I want to ask you this right now. As we've come together, as the Holy Spirit has been moving in your heart and life, has he identified any distractions in your life that are hindering you from your relationship with God? I'm not going to ask you what they are. It's not between me and you. It's between you and the Holy Spirit, who is sitting there going, see right here? See this? How about this? How about that? What are the distractions that are taking place in your life that are keeping you from being in the presence of the Master? What are the things, people all the time sit back. I heard a guy say one time, he said, I've been in church every time a door's open for 50 years of my life and never was worshiping. I was always serving. Ouch. He said, I was too busy shaking a hand. And listen, I'm going to get to it in a minute, but that's important as well. But you've got to see the balance. Can you identify what the Holy Spirit's telling you those hindrances are? Here's the other thing I want us to see out of the scripture today. Remember what Jesus called it when he was addressing Mary. He said, she chose the better part. Okay? See, Jesus highlights Mary's choice to sit at his feet as a good part, despite the demands of the household. Mary prioritized spiritual nutrition over regular food nutrition. Are you spiritually hungry? Do you eat in the same manner spiritually that you do physically? Let me answer that for all of us. No. We don't. Because we eat three times a day. How many of y'all just eat on Sunday? That's all the time you eat, just once a week on Sunday morning. From 10:45 to 11:45, you sit down and have a big meal, and that's going to last you all week. Nobody. It's ironic. Not one single person in here only eats food one time a week. How would you answer that question if I said, how do you feast spiritually? Is the only time you pick the Bible up on Sunday when you're on the way to church? And I know some smart aleck could say, no, I carry it with me every day because it's on my telephone. Blow the dust off of it. How many of you get into it? How many of you are sitting there saying, Lord, I want you to show me something from your word today that is personal for me. I'm going to be stingy and selfish today. Show me something out of your word that is meant for me. Do you do that every day? Do you do that multiple times a day? Do you pray without ceasing? How is your spiritual diet? Even though there were demands of the household, it was cultural for Martha to do the right thing and feed the guest, and that was okay. And she was good at it because apparently that was her gift, and she was exercising her gift. And I think one of the big things that's being pointed out in this scripture is that Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. Her focus was wrong. She was focusing on not on Jesus. She was focusing on the chores and the task at hand. Listen, why do we do what we do? If Jimmy and I drive a truck for the Baptist on mission simply because, well, we just like to drive, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. You know, our attitude is, when that man doesn't drive, there's people going hungry. There's people starving. They need food. And there's people up there waiting to prepare it. And Jimmy's got to get through. Steve's going to go out this week, and he's going to deal with people who've had massive flooding, maybe lost everything there is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. That's important. That's important to do. But there has got to be a balance. There's got to be a cultivating a habit of spending time together with God daily, whether through scripture reading or worship or prayer or whatever mode or method that it is. And that has to be your anchor in a busy world. You ever jumped in the water and got washed away? Now, some of y'all may. Have you ever been out to the beach and got caught in an undertow? I mean, I did one time, and I got off the beach, and I was looking for the umbrella, and I'm like, where'd they go? Well, they were about a half a mile down that way. I didn't even know which way to go. I've jumped in the creek before and been washed away. That's easy to do. You got to have a spiritual anchor that holds fast. Remember the old song? The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. Y'all remember that? What is our anchor? Our anchor is Jesus Christ. Now, let me kind of wrap this up by talking about the fact that there is a balance. I know some people would sit back and say, well, you know, Martha was exercising her talents and abilities. She was doing good, and now she's kind of getting reprimanded for it. So does that mean I'm not supposed to use my talents and abilities? No, we just have to find the proper balance. It's important to recognize that responsibilities are not inherently wrong, but they must not overshadow our relationship with God. Finding that balance is the key. Sometimes you got to step back. Sometimes the Lord has to say, hold on. That's the way it works in my life. Have you ever been, I know you have, I've seen some of y'all, where you're looking at somebody and they're trying to do something and you know you can do it better. And you know you can do it quicker. And you know you would do it in a different way. And you're sitting there going, and you're like, let me help you with that. No, no, that's okay. I've got it. And you're like, it's killing you. It's killing you. Listen, sometimes the Lord says you need to step back and let somebody else take care of the situation. Sometimes you know, guess what? You taking it away from them may be robbing them of the blessing and the opportunity that God has in store for them. Don't be a thief. Somebody may not have put that hamburger on that bun last week exactly like you would have, David. It might have been a little crooked. Drives me nuts, man. I'll tell you one thing. At burger places, I cannot stand. There's a pile of pickles in the middle. The cheese is off to the side. Don't that drive you crazy? Ugh. I just want to go back there and say, let me show you how to put a slice of cheese on a burger so it's not like half off and half on. And then my whole speech would be, you got to care enough about making the burger. But sometimes we have to step back and let Jesus teach people some things in life. You know what? I don't think Martha would have learned the lesson if a bunch of people would have pitched in and helped that day. Do you? I know she wouldn't have learned the lesson if Jesus would have said, well, you know, Mary, Martha's been working hard and you've been in here for a while. You just scoot on in there and help her out. Nope. Jesus said, nope. She chose well. She chose to stay at my feet. Yes, we have responsibilities, and doing those is not wrong. But when they begin to overshadow your relationship with God, you have to find the balance. I was thinking about this when it came to my mind. Sometimes I have dumb illustrations that come to my mind, but I juggle. And I've thought about at times in the past why it popped into my mind. You know, you got several, you're juggling, you got several balls up in there at one time. If now with other people, it's not a problem. For me, if my attention wavers, I'll drop every last ball. You know, them people that are real good jugglers, they'll be sitting there talking to you and doing all this, and not a problem whatsoever. For me, I'm sitting there going, and if you're like, hey, and I'm like, doom, 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 they start falling all over the place. Think about that for a minute. In life, we must juggle various responsibilities, but our priority should be to keep God right there in the center, above all things. And if we do that, everything else takes care of its own. So today, I'm asking you to evaluate your daily schedule. I'm even going to ask you to evaluate your daily schedule today. Today. Have you allocated specific time for work and for spiritual activities? Have you balanced those responsibilities without compromising your relationship with God? It's not always easy to do. And Satan ensures you've got plenty of things to distract you. Amen? There's a whole bunch of stuff that he will set back to distract you with. But remember your mission. Remember what you need to do. You sit back and say, if the world falls down around me today, I am going to be in the presence of Jesus. You know, sometimes I'm sitting back, today I'm going to get up earlier, or I'm going to stay up later, or I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to take my lunch break, and I'm going to take the word of God, and I'm going to pray. I'm not just going to go out there and read. I'm not going to get mundane. I'm going to say, Lord, today I'm going to spend time in your word. I'm going to spend time in this chapter, and I want you to speak to me. If you go out and sit on the park bench, I promise you, every pigeon in the world is going to fly up to you. I promise you that there'll be a mime going right in front of your face. I promise you that somebody will stop by and talk to you. You have got to find a way to get rid of the distractions. I had a guy ask me one time, he said, well, should I just go hide somewhere? I said, if it works, yeah. Go out and get in the trunk of a car. I don't know. Find that place where you are not distracted. Because I can tell you, life is full of distractions, isn't it? Even in the house of the Lord. See, in our chaotic world, distractions are inevitable. But with intentional effort, we're purposing to do this. We can prioritize the things that truly matter. Just as Mary chose the better part, let us choose to focus on God amidst life's busyness. Because I can tell you this much, life's busy, isn't it? I don't know anybody who will sit back and say, you know what, I'm not a real busy person. Everybody's busy. But are we busy doing the right things? Are we busy about the things that matter? Because here's the way I look at it. I am going to be in heaven a whole lot longer than I'm going to be on this earth. I know that it is difficult at times for us to understand, but your house ain't going with you. Your bank account, not going with you. The stuff that we put so much heart and effort and energy into is not going to make it into the ethereal kingdom of heaven. So why don't we spend our time on the things that will? The kind word, the exercising of the gift, the walking and talking with our Lord and Savior. The things that matter the most. You know, I'm kind of glad that I'm kind of glad that this ain't it, aren't you? I'm looking forward to that day when I get to get a hug from Diane again. I'm looking forward to the day when I get to shake a hand and get a hug from JC. They have run the course. They've won the race. And I believe that folks like that have heard the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you know what mattered most to them? Jesus. You didn't have to ask them. They lived it. They lived it. And so many others that I've known over the last 23 years in this church that have gone on to glory, that were great examples of what a Christian ought to be, who lived their life by the scripture, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." They stood in oppression, they stood in persecution, and never wavered one single time, because it was that important to them. So here's my question. Brad, you guys come on up. We're going to have our time of invitation in just a moment. The first and most paramount question is, number one, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Believe it or not, I've heard this before. Some people say, "Well, I've just been a bad person and that's not for me." Yes, it is. If you were living and breathing and listening to me, Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. He went through a borrowed tomb. He resurrected on the third day. He ascended to the Father, and he did that for you. Even if there was nobody else on this planet, Jesus still would have gone to Calvary just for you. So don't tell me you're not important. And he offers you the perfect gift of salvation, his resurrected son. But he don't kick the door of your life down. He stands at the door and knocks. The question is, and you need to answer this today, one way or the other, have you opened that door to Jesus? Have you allowed him to come in to your heart? I'm not just trying to break things down in a spiritual way. It's real easy. When he knocked on the door, did you say, open the door and say, "Yes, Jesus, come in to my heart and save my soul. Forgive my sin. I believe what you've done at Calvary. And Lord, you've paid my sin debt. I'm no longer mine, but yours." Have you done that? I don't care how many times you prayed with the preacher. I don't care how many times you filled out a card. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is whether or not you can say, "I know that I am a child of the King because I have received him." You don't have to think. You can know. Do you know today? Listen, if you don't know and Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, you can invite him in by simply praying and saying, "Lord, today I understand what you did at Calvary. And I understand it was for me. So Lord, forgive my sins and save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, that's just a handshake. If you did that, Jesus said, "All right." And all the saints in heaven, he's announced it. He's writing your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the kingdom is now enhanced. But that's not the end. That's the beginning. If you're part of the family, you need to represent the family well, right? Grow in his grace. And that's what we're here for, brothers and sisters in Christ, to help you on that journey. Because you know what? Not only will we help you, you will be helping us. That's the cool part. Maybe you're here today and you said, "Oh man, I have been distracted. I've been distracted today. I've been distracted this month. I've been distracted this past year. I've been distracted for the past decade. I've been distracted for the last half century." Whatever it may be, today can be a new day. And you can say, "Nope. Nope. All these things coming at me, nope. I'm going to make appointments with the Lord." Remember that word I started our message with? We need to purpose to do these things. And you say today, "I'm going to purpose to do these things." And then, for crying out loud, get some accountability in your life. Boy, that's what our discipleship groups are, isn't it, Mark? Absolutely. And boys will look you right now and say, "Do you read your 5 chapters this week?" You either did or you didn't. And if you didn't, they're going to know. We always do better when we know somebody's watching. Hey, maybe it's time to come home. Jesus stands there with open arms. Whatever the case may be, he is waiting. Maybe he's been waiting for a long time. Maybe today's the day where he says, I've been waiting here for years. I am so glad today's the day that we're going to sit down and have a conversation because I love you. Would you have that conversation with the Lord today? Listen, whatever it is that he's put in your heart, deal with it today before you leave this place. Don't let Satan distract you. He loves to be distractive during invitations because that's when people make decisions. He's already got you thinking about, if he hurries up, we might be able to get there before the rest of the crowd does. But what's more important? I'm asking you, if you're okay today, you pray for those around you. You pray for those that the Lord does, that you don't even know about, that the Lord knows about. As we deal with him, as we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 285, Where He Leads, Brad will lead us. Your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you make these final preparations with the Master. Listen, what has he said to you today? He has said something. He has touched in an area of your life. He has encouraged you. He has brought something maybe that you need to correct. Whatever it is, identify it today. Deal with him and make sure that you leave this place different than the way that you came in. As you continue to seek the Lord, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, we thank you again for the provision for each and every one of our lives. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us where we fail to keep in mind that even returning to you the tithe is an act of worship. And Lord, you watch to see if we're going to be faithful to do that. And Lord, not because you need it, but Father, because you want to bless us and you want us to see your provision in our lives. So, Father, may we be faithful as we return to you the tithe and the offering. May the gift and the giver be blessed as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here. Birthdays that we got today and coming up this week. Kelly Young is having a birthday today, man. Man, you're 30, right? Yeah, 30. We're going to call it 30. Kelly's birthday is today. Be sure to give him a hug. Let him know how much you love him. Also coming up this week, tomorrow is Sandra Inover's birthday. I think they're actually out celebrating her birthday today and this week. Thursday, Marsha Wall will have a birthday coming up this week. And then a very special day on Friday as Roger and Don Ree will celebrate their wedding anniversary. Now, I'm not sure what number that is. Huh? 71. Been married 71 years. Wow. Man, be sure to love on them because that is an accomplishment and what an example to each and every one of them. And I know you guys usually watch. We love you, Roger and Don Ree. Thank you so much for all you've done for each and every one of us as well as our church. We hope you have a great, great anniversary together this coming week on Friday. Also, just to let you know, today after service, is that like after this service, Steve? Okay, so basically Steve's D group is having a meeting right after church today.
And we're also meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock to go visit some shut-ins and take pictures of the church director.
Gotcha. All right, so they got plenty going on. So if you're part of Steve's D group, just meet them after service in just a few minutes, right? And then he'll let you know the other things that they have going on. They will have their regular D group tomorrow, but there's also some stuff going on today after service. So catch Steve. And you'll know what the story with that is, all right? No band or choir practice this evening, so keep that in mind. You get a little bit of a little bit of time off, but you do have the Sunday Bible study, the adult Bible study tonight here, or actually down in room five. That's where David and the Sunday night crew are. Just a couple things, Ladies Connections monthly meeting. Next one will be August the 6th at 4 o'clock p.m., in the Family Life Center, room 116. And then on August the 14th will be the monthly breakfast at Cagney's on Friendly. So that'll be on August 14th at 9 o'clock a.m. Only other thing I want to mention to you before Dave comes to close us in prayer is that we have had a copy of the policies and procedures that will be voted on during our August meeting. There's a copy back there that you can review or look at. If you would like your own personal copy, you can let us know at the office. We can either email it to you or we can get you a printed copy of that. But with policies and procedures, we certainly didn't want to use cases and cases of paper. So you can look at it back there. If you would like your own personal, we'll make sure you get it. We can email it to you, what have you, but that will be voted on in August. This has been a lengthy project. We've been a couple of years that this has been we've been working on that. So we're bringing this to fruition at next month's meeting. Particularly if you are a chairman of a team or a committee, take the time to look at what specifically addresses your team or committee. And then that way you could say, okay, this is either outdated or we need to update this or we need to do these things. So please take a look at that as it will be voted on in the August meeting. And if you see something in that, that you have a question about or you'd like to have, please contact us so we can try to get all that done before we have our meeting. Because I get hungry. I know y'all are hungry. Y'all are sitting there going, it's 2 minutes to 12. He needs to hurry up. If you start asking all these questions at the business meeting, it's after church. Let's get them answered before we come into the meeting, and then that way we will know what's taking place and going on. Again, those are back there for you to take a look at. That's the only other thing I see or knows or anything I have missed. Brother David, come on up. Tell us about what's going on. Might even mention Camp Carefree, how things went or going or how it goes. Just let us know, bro.
We're going to plan a time where those who worked at Camp Carefree can get together and we can eat a meal and share some things, some observations about it. I'm happy that Steve's D-Life group is going to go and do a meal one night at Camp Carefree. And you guys that are involved in that D-Life group, get involved with that. You will be blessed, I promise you. have one other announcement that just came up this morning. The ladies' tea at the end of July has been canceled. So if you were planning on going to that, I'm sure it'll get rescheduled someday. So you just kind of pay attention and you can find out. Just don't show up here for it, the scheduled time. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll go home. Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house today. God, what a joy it is to be here for the opportunity that we have just to come and worship you. Lord, we thank you for the message, for the music and the worship that we've experienced today. Help us to take what we've received here today and take it out into the world and put it into practice that others might know Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.